All right. So me, this is my presenter biography. I'm an assistant professor in my third year in the Department of Health, Sport, and Exercise Sciences at the University of Kansas. I teach courses on community health education and human sexuality. And my research really focuses on the interplay of body size, body image, body shape, sexual health and sexual behavior, and of course those social and cultural factors that impact all of these variables like gender, race, sexual orientation. This project I'm going to be talking about is titled Sexual Repertoire and Body Size in Women. I'm sure you can hear me okay, right? Okay. Great. I have no financial relationships to disclose. To start in looking at the literature that already exists around body size and shape and sexuality in women, there is a lot of research out there, but despite the fact that there's a big literature, it's quite limited in scope. So the relationship that we find between body size and sexuality has been measured in terms of looking specifically at sexual function and you know things like orgasm, lubrication. And the relationship has really been found to be mixed. So in some samples, particularly clinical samples of women enrolled in weight loss programs, you find that there is a strong relationship between body size and sexuality. But the fact that those women are in clinical weight loss programs in which they're very invested in a weight loss paradigm is generally not included in the research. The other population that you tend to see research done on is, of course, college students. You know, we see a lot of research on college students. There are captive audiences. They're surveyed as much as possible. And we make a lot of generalizations based on the research that's done solely with college students. So there's some real differences based on the participant characteristics. But there's an assumption undergirding most of these studies that weight, and especially higher weight, should impede healthy sexuality. That's the assumption based on these research, you know, that underlies these research questions, that there will be dysfunction, that there will be fewer numbers of partners, and the likelihood of intercourse participation is going to be impacted by body size. But many of these studies don't really talk about why. You know, what's the assumption, what's the mechanism by which these two areas are connected? Is it actual fat deposits on the body? Is it hormones? Is it physical barriers, you know, by living in a larger size body? We don't really see any evidence of that. So the argument that I make, and this data is from a larger study that I did on body size and image in women and sexuality, is that weight stigma can have a very large effect on women's social and sexual experiences. So that women's body size, the mechanism by which women's body size is related to sexuality is through the mechanisms of weight-based stigma and the possibility of sexual objectification playing a role. So sexual objectification is this idea that women's and girls' bodies are consistently and insistently sexualized, and because of that, girls and women learn very early on to view their physical selves from the perspective of someone outside of them. So they very early on begin to objectify themselves based on, you know, what they think the expectations are going to be for them. So, and therefore women's worth is based on that evaluation. So bodies are, particularly meant for consumption. That's kind of the idea that underlies objectification theory. And so the reason that objectification might affect sexuality is because objectification can bring about weight-based shame, body-based shame and anxiety, decreased attention to internal body state. So if we're very engaged with noticing who's noticing us and trying to evaluate how they're evaluating us, we spend less time reflecting internally on our own bodily states. And one thing we know about sexuality, and especially sexual outcomes in women, is that in order for women to reach orgasm in a lot of cases, it takes a lot of attention to bodily signals. So that some of these sexual experiences can be directly related to some of the social and cultural experiences that women have, especially in North American culture. So my research question, again, this is part of a larger study, is does actual body size, as measured by BMI, and I'll discuss in a minute why I used BMI, have any relationship to the range of sexual behaviors that women engaged in the previous 4 weeks. And this was after controlling for age, because of course we know younger folks tend to be more frequently sexually active than older folks, though not necessarily that older folks aren't sexually active. But partner status, of course, will impact folks' engagement in sexual behavior and partner gender. So my hypothesis, based on the idea that weight-based stigma and objectification will play a role, is that women of higher BMI may engage in different behaviors than women of lower or smaller body size. Particularly, I was interested in looking at receiving versus giving oral sex. A lot of times when we measure sexual behavior, we measure those together, but they're two very different types of sexual behaviors. The kind of bodily experience of giving oral sex is very different than the receipt of oral sex, and the sort of bodily feelings could be different, as well as self-masturbation in terms of thinking about women's feeling of entitlement to pleasure. So we did a cross-sectional online survey of women. Participants were recruited through email lists related to sexuality, women's health, body image, Facebook. And ultimately, I had about 500 women who completed the survey overall, but only about 238 who provided the BMI information and who self-reported being sexually active in the previous 4 weeks. It was interesting to see older women were less likely to provide their weights than younger women. So those women that didn't provide the BMI were demographically different than women who did. What we measured, a bunch of demographic variables, weight in pounds and height in feet and inches for the BMI. Now, a lot of people, and I'm sure many of you have heard presentations throughout this conference that uses BMI as a proxy for health. That is not my goal in this study. There's a lot of argument and disagreements, and I am of the belief that BMI is a terrible proxy for health. But it may not be a terrible proxy for actual body size, with not necessarily having health implications attached to that. And we have awful measures of body size that we use in our cross-sectional and survey research. And trying to figure out humane, sensitive, and I would argue feminist approaches to measuring body size in our research is an area that still really needs to be explored, and that's something Natalie and I are going to be talking about, because if we agree that weight stigma exists in the world and that it has it has an impact on people, then we assume that body size matters, and yet our measurement of it is really not very good. So that was my big disclaimer about the use of BMI. We looked at engagement in a range of sexual behaviors. So yes or no, whether folks engaged in this in the previous 4 weeks. So we included self-masturbation, masturbating a partner, stimulation by a partner, performing oral sex, receiving oral sex, penile-vaginal intercourse, and penile-anal intercourse. So the majority of participants, they were pretty evenly distributed across age groups. The biggest group was women aged 30 to 39. Okay, and they were primarily white. This was a problem with my initial study sample, that the ethnicity question was not originally included, so I don't have ethnicity information for the entire sample. But it was quite diverse in terms of sexual orientation. Only about half of the women in the study identified as straight. And in terms of BMI, there was a pretty wide range of that as well. Far fewer women on the much smaller end, quite a lot more on the higher end of BMI scales. So the range was between 16.6 to 65.5. The majority were partnered. About 60% were sexually exclusive or monogamous. I had quite a large group of polyamorous folks in this sample, which I think adds to some interesting dimensions in terms of, we would say, well, that maybe makes it less generalizable, but I think its strength is actually in its diversity, rather than assuming everyone's in the same partner status. The majority were sexually active with men. Now, when you look at sexual behavior, almost everyone was self-masturbating. 94% of the sample was engaging in self-masturbation. They were also frequently masturbating partners and being stimulated by partners. But if you look at masturbation and performing and receiving oral sex, folks in general, regardless of body size, were performing oral sex more frequently and masturbating a partner more frequently than they were receiving that same stimulation. And like with many samples that we see, anal intercourse was not a very common behavior. So I did a logistic regression to see if BMI as a measure of body size predicted engagement in this range of sexual behavior. So did BMI impact women's sexual repertoire? So what I found is that that was not the case for any of the behaviors with the exception of penile anal intercourse. And though that was statistically significant, if you look at the odds ratio, which is the OR category, so that means if an odds ratio is greater than 1, that means having a higher BMI is associated with higher odds of engaging in penile intercourse. It's only at 1.06, meaning that folks are only about 1.06 times as likely. So it's statistically significant, but it really doesn't actually tell us that much. So ultimately, BMI did not have any relationship with the previous 4-week sexual repertoire, with the exception of penile anal intercourse. So my initial hypothesis, at least in this study, that objectification and stigma might result in a limited sexual repertoire was not the case. And this was despite the general and cultural rise in fat phobia and stigma, which is going to be a theme throughout this panel. So there were lower rates of receiving versus giving oral sex, but that was not related to body size. Of course, there's some limitations. I've talked extensively about how BMI is a really limited measure. It only gives you a certain amount of information, you know, weight to height ratio. The ethnicity of the sample was pretty homogeneous. And I didn't measure all sexual experiences. So we all know, any of us that have either engaged in sexual activity or who study it, that there are other behaviors besides the ones that I asked about, using toys together, fondling, you know, a range of sexual behaviors that were not included. And then, of course, one of the biggest caveats is that I didn't measure the quality of folks' sexual experiences, just whether or not they had engaged in it. So it is still possible that folks' subjective experiences of objectification, stigma, might impact the quality of these experiences. So we find in other studies that obesity stigma has been found to affect women in sexual relationships, but a lot of those studies have been done in lab settings where they sort of give you a vignette and you have to say what you think you might do. But when we look at actual real partnering patterns, we don't see the same results. So it's possible that there's a wider range of sexual attractions in lived situations than those ones that we give in lab settings. And I think the results that I found may be an indication of this. And I think one of the major implications is that women of larger body size who go into a clinical setting or a social service setting of any kind should not be assumed by practitioners that they know what folks' sexual experiences are, what they're engaging in, simply based on body size. And if we find that body size is not related to engaging in these sexual behaviors, encouraging changes in body size through weight loss is not going to have any impact on sexual behaviors. I think this research actually brings up a lot more questions than it answers. I think that future research needs to look at the quality of sexual experiences based on body size, more sensitive measures of body size, and looking specifically at measuring objectification and stigma to see what the relationship actually is. But that in clinical practice, nothing should be assumed. Rather than assuming a limited repertoire, we should be assuming a broader repertoire. So I have my references. Thank you. And if anyone has, you know, one or two questions, now we're going to do one or two questions after each panelist, and then we'll have additional time at the end to discuss. So then, yes.
So your sample set is primarily people who are partners, whether it's a single partner or a partner.
Yeah. Yeah. So I stratified this because I wanted to see, the question was whether or not they were sexually active in the previous 4 weeks, and I wanted to see the frequency. Oh, microphone. And I wanted to see the frequency based on that. So I did not include in this sample women who said they were not sexually active within the past 4 weeks, because then I would have gotten a lot of zeros. Did you engage in this and this and this? And they said, no, I said I wasn't sexually active. Why are you asking me? So, in general, it was, looking at the larger sample, it was a really very sexually active sample. Almost this, the behaviors that folks engaged in, self-masturbation was really at a very high rate in the whole sample.